26 years worth of Government Accountability Office reports have been consolidated into a set of data that will work to help your agency figure out how to run itself better. Bill Eggers is Global Public Sector Research Director. Daniel Beiler is a data scientist, both from Deloitte, and turning that hard data from GAO's recommendations into action plans of reform. Bill, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for being here.
Always great to be back on the program.
And Daniel, thank you for coming today. Congratulations to both of you on this work. Bill, I want to start with you. And let's go to the beginning of this. You told me when you were here the last time, we're coming out with this work that analyzes 26 years worth of GAO reports. And after you left, the question I wish I had asked you that I didn't was, what in the world made you want to do that in the first place? Thanks for being here.
Well, you know, we had a little free time in our hands over the Christmas break. And so we decided this would be a fun thing to do. No, the big issue is we've heard so much about big data and data analytics, right, in the federal government. But the fact of the matter is government produces a lot more text than data. And from a historical standpoint, we have so much text. And for the most part, it ends up in electronic file cabinets, so to speak, and you're not able to do anything with it. And so what we wanted to do was find some text that we could actually analyze in order to demonstrate how powerful text analytics, text mining can be to helping government officials make better decisions and helping us to see some of these patterns and trends over time.
Tell me, Daniel, about text analytics. It's the main driver behind how you were able to process this amount of information in the time period that you did. Thanks for coming in today.
Sure, absolutely. So text analytics is what you have to have if you want to be able to process just volumes and volumes and volumes of information. And what we do is we use sophisticated computer programs to look for trends that either are across reports or different recommendations so that they can help try to summarize the amount of information that a human being could just never physically get through. Mm-hmm. For small documents, humans are almost always better. But a human being just can't read a million pages. And so that's when we have to use text analytics.
And that's where I wanted to go next is what do we know about the reliability of what you get back, the data that you get back from using this process?
Sure. I think that's a really fair question. So we used techniques that are very well vetted and very common in text analytics. And the quality of the data, you do make sure that you assess it in a couple different ways. You try to make sure that it's reliable across time, that it's not oscillating crazily up and down. You try to make sure that it's a really strong and reliable predictor of what you're interested in. So in our case, we were looking for text that predicts whether or not a recommendation from GAO is successful or not. Mm-hmm. And once you have a benchmark that you can measure against, then you know whether or not the topics and the concepts that you're extracting are actually working properly.
So 26 years of reports. Did you look at every single one, or did you choose a cohort from among what was released in those years, or where'd you go?
Sure. So what we did initially was that we got all of the PDFs and all of the electronic information off of the GAO site. And then for some of the PDFs that were really old, we weren't able to successfully extract high quality text from that just because they were scanned from typewriters. Mm-hmm. Right? And so but then for lots of other text, more modern reports, wherever we could, we actually used the actual typed, normal, good, machine-readable data. So mm-hmm. we actually used as much of everything as that we could use that was high quality.
Okay, so everything that was readable, you used.
That's right.
The only stuff that didn't make it was what you were not capable of reproducing.
That's
Is
right.
that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Everything the dog ate that didn't get in there.
Well, I wonder if there are some of these that General Dodaro typed himself like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that the reason why it's 26? Is because that's about the time period that you were able to go back, and before that time period, it was not machine readable?
Yeah, and also the data gets a lot more spotty. Like I think there's individual ones dating back even decades before that, but they're just too spotty to be reliable. So we kicked them out of the sample.
You have a list of key questions and answers in this report, and there are seven of them. How did you decide that these were the seven that you wanted to pose? Because, Bill, if there's anything I know about you, it's that there's a lot of things going around in that brain. And there were probably other things that you and your team considered asking as you analyzed this data.
Well, one of the key things about analytics in general is that you want to have some questions that you want to get at, right? The best ones are all about what are you trying to solve for? Mm-hmm. What questions are you trying to get at? So these were some of the questions that we looked at ahead of time that we're trying to solve for. But we also looked at, you know, after a priori, after you look at a lot of the what the data showed, we said, what are some questions that people would have about this sort of data that we can answer for them in a reasonable way? Because as soon as people hear, you know, you've analyzed that much data, right? They're, you know, they just have certain things. Well, you know, was there a big difference in success rates between agencies? Was there a big difference in years? And so there's a lot of kind of very basic things that we wanted to answer those sort of frequently asked questions, but they were also part of the initial inquiry.
These are seven really interesting questions to consider when we think about, especially about this quantity of reports from the GAO. I talk to somebody from the agency every Monday on this program. So I, of course, haven't done it for 26 years, so I don't propose to know what you've come up with here. The first question on your list, and I just want to talk through each of these in the time that we have left, are GAO recommendations an effective way to drive targeted change within agencies? And it appears there's very good news here, Daniel. This seems to be pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the answer is yes, and consistently over time and across agencies. I mean, GAO recommendations are completed, you know, at over an 80% success rate on average, and it's really quite consistent. And I think that was one of the heartening things of the report.
Now, when we say an 81% success rate, does that do we know if that means that they are completed, that the agency did what GAO suggested, or does that mean that they got the outcome that GAO recommended they should work for?
So this is actually one of the reasons we chose GAO reports to study, because in order to mark something as complete, mm-hmm. GAO actually goes back to the agency and does basically an audit and requires proof, not just their word, that something's actually been accomplished. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we felt that this was reliable and not just going to be what someone felt like or what they had hoped had happened.
And I think that's an important distinction, because I've seen cases, not many, but I've seen cases where, for example, if the GAO recommendation is that the agency should sharpen that pencil in order to get a better quality of writing. If they sharpen the pencil but the writing is not improved, then they haven't really achieved the goal.
And we rely purely on GAO for that. So mm-hmm. whatever they would classify the recommendation as, as successful or not, we took.
The second question that you ask is, what problem areas are less likely to see successful implementation of recommendations? And this one, it struck me as interesting because this is a consideration of data, and the word data was one of the triggers here, Daniel.
It's true. When there's mentions of data, or there's mention of high-ranking officials or cross-agency issues, we see lower completion rates, right? And so I think that what that points to is that the text is helping us to pick up where there are high-priority, high-visibility issues that are broad in scope. And so I think that that's interesting and informative for how to structure future recommendations and point to a lot of the well-known problems that exist in government.
Some of those are information technology and information security, and yet question three, where do agencies most often succeed in implementing recommendations? They show up fairly high in these rankings.
Sure. I think that was one of the really interesting things to me. And that's why one of the recommendations in the report is that when GAO looks to highly rated areas, that it's not just we shouldn't just be looking for high completion rates, but we should also be looking for, if we know there are problems, it's okay to put more pressure and put out harder recommendations. I'm not saying the GAO has done something wrong, but I think that we should use these kind of metrics in an intelligent way mm-hmm. to ask where not only can we do better, but where should we be thinking about how broadly or how deeply we're questioning.
Bill, I related very well to question number four, and I will go there in a minute, but you had a thought
I was going to say, so we had some of the more successful areas: information security, education, information technology, equal opportunity. And, you know, longtime listeners to your show will say, well, that's surprising, IT, with all the big IT failures we've seen in the federal government mm-hmm. over the last three decades.
A lot of IT in the high-risk list.
And information security. And the issue here is most of the GAO IT recommendations were fairly narrow in scope. And a lot of these were very narrow and, you know, more doable, as opposed to, you know, much more broad sort of things around some of the big IT security and other areas. And one of the things we recommend is that maybe they have a room to increase the number and strength of the specific recommendations around these areas. Because we know the government is still struggling with IT issues, and the fact that they have such a high completion rate tells you that there's room to modify what they're actually suggesting in that area.
I'm going to take a quick break and come back and look at the rest of the questions on this list. My guests today on Federal News Radio, Bill Eggers and Daniel Beiler of Deloitte. And we'll continue our conversation about the analysis of 26 years of GAO reports next on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Daniel Beiler and Bill Eggers of Deloitte, my guests today. And they have analyzed 26 years of Government Accountability Office reports. And their work is titled, What 26 Years of GAO Reports and Text Analytics Can Teach Us About Government Management. And you can find that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. We'll post a link there along with our conversation with Daniel and Bill. And Bill, I mentioned before the break that question four is one that I particularly related to because one of my pet peeves is hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Question four is, do agencies improve their success in implementing recommendations if they receive repeated recommendations in the same area? And it doesn't sound like the government likes that idea any more than I do.
No, and in fact, we found that it doesn't matter. You could say you can make the recommendation 100 or 500 times in the same category, like information systems, and it would not affect the success rate at all. Now, keep in mind that the success rates are already fairly high, mm-hmm. but it's almost like, you know, telling your teenager, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room. You could do it 500 times and it's not going to necessarily change the behavior. Mm-hmm. But I think the other interesting thing is that it also represents that those are probably some very, very difficult problem areas. And it also, the notion that some problem areas, no matter how many GAO recommendations target them, persist in being a challenge is also supported by GAO's high risk list, right? Of the 30 areas currently on the list for high risk, 16 have been on the list for more than a decade, despite all that attention mm-hmm. that they get. So it's really not that surprising in the end when you see it that way.
And we do know that the agencies are paying a lot of attention to the high-risk list areas, and they want to do whatever they can to get off the high-risk list. The fifth question in the summary of key questions and answers that you're asking in this report, have major events or outside groups substantially altered GAO's core focus over time? Daniel, was the point here to see if there was some event or series of events that caused GAO to maybe change their methodology or areas of focus or something like that?
So really what we were looking for was, have there been any huge structural shifts in overall and what they've been investigating? Mm-hmm. And the answer is that, you know, a couple key areas have, for the most part, been what they've investigated over the course of time. Now, that doesn't mean that the content of those areas hasn't changed at all. And we talk about that a little bit later in the report as well. But that actually makes sense, that their mission and their broad focus has remained pretty consistent over time.
Now, the sixth question was one that we discussed in between during the break. And I was surprised by this one. The question is, did the Government Performance and Results Act result in recommendations that were difficult to implement? And the report says GIPR-related recommendations have a 2% higher success rate than all other non-GIPR-related recommendations. So I normally am a glass-half-full guy. I read this one glass-half-empty because I wasn't too impressed by that, Bill. Where did I go wrong?
Well, I mean, GIPR, right, is all about government moving towards a performance basis and looking at outcomes and being measuring results and so forth. It's not something that's always been the easiest thing for government to do. It's sometimes much more difficult than the private sector to measure a result like that. So those of us who've been looking at things like GIPR part for decades would have thought that the GIPR recommendations would have been, had a much lower probability of success than, you know, another type of recommendation. But we looked at 2020 recommendations related to the act, and it wasn't the case. The success rate was actually 2 percentage points higher, which I think people would be very surprised about.
Mm-hmm. When you explained it to me in that context, Bill and Daniel, that makes sense to me. And that can, I think, is a positive testimony to what effect GIPR has had in a relatively short period of time for the modernization part of it, at least.
and the role that GAO can have in helping agencies to achieve that, mm-hmm. right? Because this isn't saying that overall that GPRA solved every problem. This says within GAO reports, mm-hmm. right, that we can have some success.
The seventh one and final key question that you answer in this, have outside events like the administration's management goals or terrorism had a targeted impact on GAO's focus? And this struck me that maybe this was a different approach or a different goal than question number five, but kind of the same idea is, are there outside factors that have influenced the way that GAO looks at what they look at? Am I on track there, Daniel?
Sure, that's right. And we definitely see some things that you would expect coming out of the, you know, some of the changes the president was trying to make around transparency. You see a real jump in the number of GAO reports that are talking about transparency. You see also, unexpected, but significant decline after the attacks of September 11th and terrorism related. Issues. And the real reason that we wanted to have this as not only because the information is interesting, but because I think that this is a good example of where text analytics can pick up and also quantify the level of difference in things you aren't necessarily looking for, right? I think you would have expected to see a decline in terrorism related, results, but to know exactly it's, 32% or whatever that is, mm-hmm. I think helps you get your hands around the trend.
No report on GAO reports and recommendations would be complete without recommendations, Bill. So you have some. What are the key ones that people should know about for this work?
Well, I'll start off and then let Daniel say. I mean, one of the things we said is to at least convert reports to a text analytics friendly electronic format. That's going to be really key because there's so many areas actually of government that could benefit from this. IG reports, Inspector General reports, of course, so you could do a similar sort of analysis. But it's even changing the way a lot of government field workers work. I mean, think about FDA or think about OSHA inspectors or food inspectors. And if they were all using, similar forms and similar sort of ways of coding their inspections, you could actually go in and learn all sorts of things about what are some of the trends in real time in a way that's impossible to do today. So it's about thinking about text as a way, how do you convert that to data? Mm-hmm. And I'll let you talk about a few more, Daniel.
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the things that really made GAO something that we could study and something you can really get your hands around was the fact that they put a ton of effort into keeping score, mm-hmm. right? Did what we did work? And then not only do we find that out, but we actually write it down and attach it to the report in a really structured and regular way over decades. Mm-hmm. And exploiting that particular set of coding structures is the only reason we were really able to pull this off in a reasonable time frame. Then another thing that that GAO did really well that enabled a lot of our analysis was that they took a lot of times to categorize the reports themselves. So as they're writing them, this one's about budget, this one's about energy, this one's about all those sorts of things. And so then what you can get is a two-part solution. One is where human beings do some top-level coding, like they've done at GAO, mm-hmm. and then you can do what we did, which was use text analytics to supplement those categories so that they don't have to add 200 different kinds of topics.
Yeah.
And when you do both at the same time, you get the best of human precision and also the scale that topic detection can bring to the problem.
So you mentioned there that GAO has been doing this work and doing the follow-up work over decades. And I wonder if there is a point of diminishing returns under which, if you applied this in an inspector general's office the way that you talked about before, but you were only able to go back 3 years or 5 years or 10 years through an inspector general's report, is there an amount of data or is there an amount of text that you would need to have in order to be able to be comfortable with the return data that you get? Or do you have a sense of like what kind of a bulk body of work you would need in order to be able to get sufficient results?
Sure. You only want to use text analytics in a situation where a human being can't sit down and easily read the information.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got somebody that can take 2 weeks and read it, don't use a bazooka, right? Now, if you've got data that's at such scale that you are really having trouble understanding it, mm-hmm. preferably in the thousands of reports, or tens of thousands, but I really can't give an answer to that because it depends on a lot of things. How clean is the data? How many different topics are discussed? If you have a smaller number of documents that are about a similar set of topics, you can afford a smaller sample size. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on a lot of different things about your documents. The key thing is to start the collection now. Because if you don't do that, then in 5 years, you're going to be shocked to discover that you still don't have them, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
So I think that's what I would say about the sample size.
And I would just add one big thing to see this in a bigger respect. I think if you look at Watson, right, IBM's Watson and the Jeopardy and now moving into healthcare and so forth, and obviously it's using artificial intelligence, but also text analytics becomes an important part of it. And I think we're at the very beginning of this in the federal government. We're probably where, you know, data analytics was 3 or 4 years ago. But by 2018, all of the archives are going to have to be digitized. That's already in law. And we're also going to see a lot more of this. And I think we're going to get to the point in the future where by this sort of text analytics, we're able to help decision makers make much, much better decisions, because it's not just based on their limited experience, but it's based on hundreds, thousands of cases, and that can be analyzed in this way. And that's what we need to get to. We're at the baby steps right now, but we wanted to show it's possible, you know, as we head out to the future.
And that's where I wanted to go next, is I wanted to ask, if I'm working at an agency maybe that has worked with GAO on some of these reports and I see myself in some of this information that you've collected, how do I use the information herein to run my operation better, to make my enterprise function on a higher, better level?
Sure. I think that's an interesting question. I think there's a couple different ways. First of all, is that I think that aside from the actual findings of the report, that you should start looking at your own internal oversight, that were your IGs or whatever, and start and see if you can do a similar sort of analysis on yourself, mm-hmm. because then you're going to find out about your underlying problems and what you've persistently struggled with. And so then that's going to help you in the future be able to successfully respond to external oversight. And then I think that beyond that, I think that one of the things that they should realize when a GAO comes to the door, it's very simple, but you're likely to meet with success, mm-hmm. right? And that it's worth the investment. The one thing that I will say is that, the one thing we couldn't measure just because of the way that GAO is constructed is that GAO does take, in a lot of cases, up to 4 years for agencies to successfully, you know, rectify whatever issues GAO has identified. And I think that time duration is significant. And so if you're expecting, even though you might generally expect to enjoy success, there might be room for improvement in the duration of how long it takes you to get there.
What other ways could you or someone use this methodology? You talked about inspectors general and going through their reports, but what other ways could somebody use text analytics like you did here in a way to help their enterprise run better?
I think that that's a good question. I think that whenever you start out on a text analytics quest, you should make sure that it's very focused around solving a couple key business problems that are really closely related to the mission. Otherwise, it becomes academic in the worst sense of the word. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be the first phase of it. Then the second phase of it is then to identify which data sources are going to be really significant. So that could be cables back and forth. That could be communications. It could be inspection reports. I think the biggest thing is once you've identified a problem, to start thinking about your unstructured data as data and not just leaving it as the thing that you just leave off because mm-hmm. you have trouble compartmentalizing it into your normal analytic categories.
Mm-hmm. That's a worldview question, a cultural question that you and I have talked about 1,000 times before, Bill. The idea of just rethinking the way that you do things so that you can realize this greater purpose later on.
Well, that's absolutely it, because if you, like, another area is grants. Mm-hmm. I mean, the federal government gives out tens of billions of dollars worth of grants each year. And one of the things we know, it's very difficult to say which ones actually worked or didn't work. What are the patterns behind any of that? But those are another thing where you could set up in a way similar to GAO did that allows you to do better text analytics off that. So I think agencies need to look at what are some of those really good opportunities where they might be able to get their feet in terms of text analytics. And then we should look at some opportunities across government, mm-hmm. these big systems, like grants is a great one where every agency does that. Could we come up with a kind of a common taxonomy and way of structuring that so we could have much better answers?